Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, August 17th, 2016. We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon for the first segment of the program, but first we're going to do the market report. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, the Fed's from the minutes from the Feds came out from their last meeting, and we'll talk about that during the second break. Not big changes in much of the prices, but we have gold. Things are just fluctuating. We have gold up, barely a buck at $1,347. Silver was down 11 cents at $1,970. Platinum was down a buck at $1,120. Palladium was down six at $699. The USDX today was up initially, then it was down, and now it is back up just by 0.01 at 94.78. Crude oil up 0.36 at 46.94. And you have the paper markets. They were up, down, up, down, up, down all day. Finished up 20 at 18,572. The NASDAQ was up 1.55 at 52.28. And we have the S&P up 4 at 21.82. 10-year yield 1.56. And Euro 113 up 0.04. So a little bit of a mixed bag, and everything now, they're tying everything to inflation. So, and again, we'll talk about inflation after the first segment of the program today, as we should have Wendy Wilson online with us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al. How are you doing?
Oh, Wendy. Doing well.
Good. I thought we would talk about the world population. Any of you want to guess? Do you think the world population is exploding or declining?
Well, I know what the subject of your presentation is today, but I can tell you I am much surprised.
Right.
I mean, this is very surprising information, because I would have assumed that it's growing, growing, growing.
Right. Well,
certain segments would be declining.
Right. Well, you'll be really surprised as to where this information is originating as well. Because, every time we look, we're told the population of the U.S. and the globe is, expanding to the point that it's bulging and and it's not sustainable. People are going to starve to death. You know, so it's very astonishing to hear that actually the population of the world may be on a downward slope. So if, in fact, for the last 50 years, the population has been on a steady decline.
Did you say 50 or 15?
50.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's been on a decline for 50 years, you know, we've not been told, and this is kind of astonishing. So let's look. The statistics that are coming out on this are coming from organizations that are not health authorities. So the people who are reporting on the population decline are not in that realm. Oddly enough, the bankers have noticed there's fewer people on the planet. The World Bank Group, now this is an international organization that loans money to countries, it's stating we don't have 7 billion people. So if World Bank Group is telling the truth, then we are not seeing the big picture. Now, if you go to worldmeter.com, they say we currently have 7.4 billion people, and the numbers are climbing by the second. But World Bank Group uses statistics and demographics on population, vital statistical and census reports, and that's what they use to help operate their business. They also state that their census reports come from national offices all over the globe, and they're reporting downward trends in population count. So if we had 4.5 billion in 1960, and then we supposedly suffered a drop of 2.5 billion in 2013, then we don't have 7 billion people. So who's correct? And I have to ask, were the higher numbers merely projections and not really actual numbers? So we may start to wonder about the population numbers because really no one can afford to have large families anymore when you start to think about it, right?
I agree.
Yeah. Well, let's look at what could be impacting this. We may ask the question, have contraceptives had an impact on population decline? According to the World Bank Group and the data they also secured from World's Children, Child Info, and the United Nations Population Division of World's Contraceptive Use, as well as information from household surveys and cluster surveys, they're stating the creation of contraceptives has impacted the Earth's population. They report that there was a 10% increase in contraceptive use worldwide between 1990 and 2000. So the bankers are also reporting a 30% decline in fertility from 1990 to 2012. And also the CDC is reporting that since 1909, female fertility has declined along with birth rates. So the CDC is stating that it's greater than a 10% decline really since 2007. So if this is the case, how can we possibly have a population explosion the media has been reporting? So apparently the population decline rate is of such concern that instead of tracking it annually like they used to, they're starting to track it quarterly. And according to the National Center for Health Statistics, they reported in 2003 the U.S. birth rate had hit a record low. The report stated one reason was infant mortality had risen. The report also showed that between 1970 and 1980, women that were having two children, it was not a sufficient rate to replace the population. And then in 2002, they documented the birth rate wasn't a, quote, replacement rate compared to the death rate. So this is kind of interesting information to kind of find. The other thing they think is also impacting population rates are vaccines. The vaccine factor is you know, measuring in here because we can't ignore the reports that young girls and women who have actually been chemically forced into menopause or worse because of the papilloma vaccine, you know, they were taking it for the sexually transmitted viruses that can cause cervical cancer, but it just took away their menstruational cycles altogether. So
I wasn't aware of the consequences. I know they
some of them died and had adverse events. But mm-hmm. according to a report by VacTruth.com, their researchers uncovered 56 medical papers that dated back to 1977 that were listed on PubMD, and they were discussing contraceptive vaccines. And so it looks like vaccines are being manufactured to create an infertility problem, especially in the United States. So in 1989, there was this published paper by G.P. Talwar and R. Raghupathy, and it was titled Anti-Fertility Vaccines. And in the report, they stated these vaccines were in development for men and women. They described that in one jab, a vaccine could sterilize a female and pretty much castrate, give a castration effect to the male. They reported the vaccines had passed field testing and were proceeding to market. So you may be asking, how do these vaccines create infertility? Well, what they do is they create allergic reactions in females where if they have an egg that gets fertilized, the body releases a protein, making their body allergic to pregnancy, and it causes an abortion. In men, the vaccine attacks sperm antigens. The vaccines were tested in New Delhi on humans, and they were found to break down the blood testes barrier in men. So you would think patients would be fully informed about these vaccines, that they were going to, you know, destroy their fertility, but nobody is being informed. According to biochemist Talwar of the Immunology Foundation and bioengineer Raghupathy of the University of Minnesota, they said the tetanus toxoid vaccine, the cholera toxoid vaccine, and the diphtheria toxoid vaccine are all been tested to control fertility. So men who get injected with one of these vaccines with anti-fertility agents in them, they can experience a decrease in testicular size, a drop in testosterone level, and possibly atrophy of the prostate gland. So this 27-year-old paper also mentions the next generation of the DNA vaccines, which we've talked about here before, that contain aborted fetus protein called MRC5. So this could explain why, you know, we have not a replacement rate. And interesting enough, they did test these vaccines in Nicaragua, Mexico, and the Philippines in the 90s. And back then, they had a drop in fertility rate in those regions. Okay? So
pretty amazing. This is really an amazing report. It indicates the government is trying to kill people, essentially. I mean, this is just, if everything we're hearing here is true, this is criminal, this is genocide, this is horrific.
Well, let's talk real quickly about the tetanus vaccine, because everybody gets one of those, or most everybody. According to VaxTruth in 1994, the WHO gave women in developing countries between the ages of 15 and 45 the tetanus vaccine. However, it was really a birth control vaccine. An organization called the COMITE took vials of the tetanus vaccine and had it tested because they thought it was actually strange that only childbearing age females were being given the tetanus vaccine. Their lab results came back and it stated the vaccine contained a human chorionic gonadotropin called HCG, which is a hormone that helps maintain pregnancy. But when you combine it with tetanus toxin, the female experiences an abortion instead. So what this causes is an immune system confusion, and the body attacks the uterine lining so the fertilized egg cannot attach. And it was also concluded that the tetanus vaccine is a global population control vaccine that's being used by the WHO. So this could explain the decline in fertility and the drop in the replacement rate. And people should be aware that in the United States, in the public schools, colleges, universities, they all require a tetanus booster shot before you can start class.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let me read you this. This may shed some light on it. This is by G.P. Talwar, that biochemist. This was by a journal interview with him, Immunology and Cell Biology, on vaccines for control of fertility. He says, although the number of methods are available for contraceptives, there's a number of methods available. He says they are not suited to many people in economically developing countries. And according to the World Health Organization, the contraceptive needs of 350 million must be met.
What 350 million are we talking about?
They're talking about people in under economically, you know.
We're talking third world nations, true?
Yeah, basically.
I'm curious whether this need to prevent pregnancy, is that the need that's viewed from the people, or is it the need that's viewed from the people that are selling the vaccines?
I think it's more from the elite's perspective, to be honest. Let me also layer in this other thing here. It's called the pregnancy vaccines, because VaxTruth also mentioned the sudden controversial decision within medicine to vaccinate pregnant women with flu vaccines after it was never, ever done. They point out that the National Coalition for Organized Women reported that there was an increased incidence in neurological damage to fetuses and also increase in fetal death after medicine started vaccinating pregnant women with influenza. And while that was happening in 2009 and 2010, the CDC was advising the American Obstetrics and Gynecological Organizations that the vaccines were safe for pregnant women and that any spike in adverse events and fetal death were blamed on other reasons. So add to that the number of vaccines they've jacked up to increase for infants and school-age children, that could be another layer of mortality and infertility down the road. So, and then you've probably heard Brazil thinks the virologists and epidemiologists there feel that the mosquitoes have nothing to do with Zika. They think it's more environmental toxins because they use a lot of toxins that are not used in the United States. And so what are they doing in South Florida? They're using environmental toxins. So you may see a spike in a lot of health problems there. So, and do you remember Bill Gates's quote at the Carbon Reduction Global Warming Conference? Mm-hmm. Do you remember what he said?
No.
He said, first, we got population problems. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to around 9 billion now. If we do a really good job with new vaccines, health care, and reproductive health services, we can lower that by about 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's talking 900 million to maybe a billion people they want to whose births they want to prevent or deaths whose they want to cause.
Right. So if the bankers are correct with regards to what's happening to the population, if we analyze the multiple threats that are in place, we have abortion. We have the Zika vaccine that came out of Canada real quickly. It's untested, no long-term study. We don't know what's in it as far as ingredients. We have influenza vaccines for pregnancy that contain spermicides in them. We have fertility by vaccines by tetanus, cholera, diphtheria, HPV, and influenza. We have infant mortality through vaccines. We have contraceptives. We have medical procedures like hormone treatment, surgery, menstruation elimination. We have environmental poisons like what's going down in Brazil, and global warming agenda to reduce the CO2 producers, which would be, you and me. So this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a very organized strategic plan.
Let me ask you this. We talk about diphtheria, for example, vaccine. Are we talking about the same diphtheria vaccine that's given to
DPT.
Kids, children?
Yep.
And does this affect them? Does it tend to make them infertile for all of their lives?
Well,
or is
that's
this
a
something
good question.
That you take this vaccine and you're infertile for, who knows, a couple of years, and then someday, and perhaps you reheal? Do you know?
That's a good question. I think what it does is it makes it really difficult to get pregnant, and this is why so many people are having to go to, specialists in order to conceive now. And if you have the money, you could possibly overcome that, but most people do not.
I would think it'd be permanent, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if people want to just
protect them. Astonishing. People should be tried for genocide and executed for creating these drugs, these vaccines, and for distributing them. This should not be tolerated.
Well, I mean, it's all because, they're selling people benefits and they're really destruction. Abortion's presented as a choice, but it's really death. And vaccines, and environmental poisons and global warming, they're not benefits at all.
This is like giving the Indians blankets that have been used by people who had smallpox. It's the very same. It's the very same idea.
Right.
Wendy, why don't you give us some contact information where people can learn more, and if you've got anything that might, how do you help people with their
Well,
vaccines.
I know a lot of people say, you know, how do we protect ourselves from this? I say, well, you know, you utilize the weapons of defense God designed for you. The medicinal herbs are really packed full of a lot of super nutrition, and it strengthens the body. It restores balance, provides stamina, a regeneration effect. And God instructed us in Scripture to use herbs because they're here for the healing and restoration of the body. And one thing's for sure, God can't lie. So I educate people on how powerful they can be with herbs. And they can give us a call for a free catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit us online, thepowerherbs.com. Thank you.
Thanks very much,
Thanks,
Wendy.
Wendy.
That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws dot thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And what's next, Melody?
$476. We're still carrying through the special. Prices are fluctuating, but they all kind of work out to the same prices as we offered yesterday on the 90% silver, $20 face value, and the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. $476 includes your shipping cost. 800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We all talk about the chemtrails. I saw something interesting this morning. And usually the chemtrails are in X's or in straight lines across the sky, and obvious everybody knows about them and the dangers and how dangerous they are. But I saw an interesting one. It was at a little bit of a distance, and there was only one. The sky was all clear, but there was one chemtrail. And it was the first time that I saw this chemtrail, and they're all in fairly straight lines. And it was zigzagged. I don't know if the airline pilot was drunk and he was doing, but it was interesting because it didn't dissipate. I mean, it was there and it was strong. It was very defined, but it was like it was zigzaggy. I don't know if anyone else has saw a chemtrail like that, but I thought it was interesting. And I'm
kind of
always,
like crop circles, Melody. It must be the space aliens are coming down, and if they can't make it to ground where they can make a crop circle, they're giving us a chemtrail.
I don't know what it was, but it was interesting. I'm always looking and observing. You know, I always look up. I like to look up. Various reasons, you know, when you say, you know, there's a lot of things up there at night, the stars, the beautiful stars, and you can see various shapes that I mentioned to someone just recently. I noticed I was out not late at night, but I took my dog out for her last walk, and I was looking at the stars, and I saw multiple stars forming triangle shapes. And I thought, well, I never noticed that before. And, you know, you see a lot of strange things, and I don't know, just wanted to share it. And if anybody else ever saw the...
Greg Hunter interviewed a man named Dane Wigington on USAWatchdog.com about chemtrails. And in the interview last month, CIA Director John Brennan admitted chemtrails, or as he put it, stratospheric aerosol injection, mm-hmm. is established geoengineering science used to fight global warming. Mm-hmm. Geoengineering researcher Dave Wigington says if the government is admitting it, the negative effects of spraying are too big to hide much longer. Wigington explains when CIA Director Brennan addresses it, the problem publicly, clearly it's getting very difficult for them to hide this elephant in the room and the damage it has done, not only to the environment, to us, it is irreparable already. And they know the liability already. They know this. They also know the amount of liability that has been created. That's why they have been so desperate to hide this, to put this in a nutshell. The amount of destruction these yes. programs have caused environmentally, it's contaminated the entire web of life. This is, mathematically speaking, the greatest and most immediate threat to the web of life on Earth, including human health. Mm-hmm. It is greater than any other threat of a short of nuclear cataclysm. That's a mathematical fact. Well, he goes through... It's been going on for 70 years. He calls it a willful assault on the population. It's just been under the radar for so long because our completely controlled corporate media is doing everything they can to try to suppress this most important issue from the public as long as they can. He mentions Nuremberg-type trials, which he is suggesting should be... People who are responsible for this should be held accountable in the same sense Nazis were held accountable in Nuremberg. He said, we're talking about ecocide and omnicide, which is extinction of the human species. We're talking about a population that has been irreparably damaged by these programs. The heavy metals build up on our system, and they do immense amount of harm. You can't fix that once the population, Peter jumped on me. You can't fix that. Where am I? You can't fix that. And once the population knows what's been done to them, people will be held accountable. I can only hope that's correct. And it parallels what we hear about vaccines earlier from Wendy Wilson. It parallels a little of what Melody's been talking about when she sees chemtrails. There's problems here that are being imposed on us. We are being subjected to outside influences without our knowledge and consent, without our real awareness. How many people think there's something going on with chemtrails? at least someone should come out and say, here's what it is. Here's samples. Every time we do this, these are the samples. You can have them analyzed. This is what's going on. And we can make an intelligent decision as to whether we want or we don't want chemtrails. They don't do that. The public doesn't really know what's in these aerosols. And here we have a man who says it's heavy metals and they're contaminating our land. Contaminating life in general and people in particular.
It's just another where people aren't paying attention. They're not paying attention to what's around them. I mean, I'm always looking, I'm always viewing, I'm always observing, I'm always trying to see something that's out of the norm. I mean, I do that every day with what I do, with selling gold and silver and trying to understand to make sure that, you know, it is what it is and the fundamentals are there intact. So I'm always searching. And I mean, I can remember after 9/11, when the planes didn't fly for a couple days, the sky was such a beautiful blue. It was the sky that you see when you're a child. I mean, if you can remember the skies of when you were a child, the brilliant blue. And it's so rare to see that in normal days. And it was just something very pronounced that I remember the skies after 9/11. And people just don't, they're so distracted and so busy.
Oh, you get used to everything. You get used to an overcast gray, bluish gray overcast. You don't even remark. It doesn't even cross your mind that anything is significant there. I lived in Utopia, Texas for a while, little town.
The point is, when you have that bright blue sky, that is something that should jog your...
I understand that. And part of the reason a friend of mine lives, he still lives down there, but the reason he lived there is he did some research and found out it had one of the cleanest air systems in the country. And I can remember while I was living down there, the sky was just an incredible blue.
Beautiful.
It wasn't anything like you see in Dallas. Again, Dallas, you don't see blue, you see blue-gray, maybe even a little blue-gray-brown. We're used to the smog, the overcast.
I'm outside a large city, and you still have it. You know, well, State College is in the mountains.
Utopia, Texas didn't, and at least not while I was down there. They used to have people, so they'd send people there who had diseases just to get them some genuine fresh air. Right? And they understood this for decades. It's, you know, one of the cleanest air systems in the country. Well, you just mentioned that color of blue and
blue sky.
Just brilliant, brilliant. And it's hard to describe, but when you see it, it really does stick in your mind. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of thing you kind of associate with islands in the Pacific Ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, people in Tahiti or wherever, you see postcards and there is an incredible blue, and you wonder whether or not that blue was it really there, or is this did they adjust the color scheme on the photograph to make the blues more intense or whatever? But you associate that kind of blue. There they have it right there in Utopia, Texas, and I don't know where else they have it. I'm sure they do in other places, but mostly it's not available to the vast majority of the people in this country, in part because we live in major cities and there's a problem with pollution, smog, and just
chemtrails, that's very real.
Chemtrails is another story.
I can remember living in Missouri. We live close to it was a Whiteman Air Force Base. And I can remember in the middle of July walking outside in the afternoon, and it was snowing. And it's just this white spidery web type. Falling from the sky. And a couple days prior to that, you could see the various, you just thought it was a cobweb, you know, on your car or something. And no, it was, Lord knows what it was, but it was
didn't
definitely
appear
not
to be
healthy.
Natural. And
no,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can remember coming out of a restaurant with four or five people coming out of a restaurant one evening. This would go back at least 10 years ago, maybe 15. And there were all of these, just like you're describing, filaments that were 3-4 feet long, maybe longer, that were just settling down at nighttime You could see them with all of the lights that were in the parking lot, and they were coming down and just landing on cars. And we touched them. We tried to, but they were so fragile.
Kind of sticky. Yeah,
a little bit sticky, but they'd almost disappear as soon as you touch them. But whatever they were, all right, coming down out of the sky, it's unnerving on one level because this is not natural. Whatever this was, I don't know what these things were, and I wish I'd scooped up a bunch of them if it were possible to scoop them up and put them in a jar and maybe had them analyzed someplace. So we didn't think to do that at the time. We might have been able to capture a few of them. But something strange was going on. And here we are 15 years later, and we still have chemtrails.
And I saw a crooked one, a zigzaggy one. I don't know what it meant, but it had to mean something. But
so
anyway.
It's probably...
It was bizarre. It was weird.
It's probably like the Wicked Witch. But she say, beware Dorothy or something like that when she was doing... It wasn't a chemtrail, but it was a... You know, a smoke signal in a sense in the sky. I can't think of the proper term. But
oh, maybe it was the space aliens. Anyway. Space aliens hit Target, the retail giant. They reported their sales today for the second quarter, and that fell more than 7% from a year ago. And again, they also warned of future sales. They may drop in the third and fourth quarter. And so you have to ask yourself, is it just the consumer being a little more selective where they shop, because as we know, Target was one of the first stores that embraced transgender correctness when it came to the bathroom. So maybe that consumer is being a little more, maybe they're boycotting the store. And so anyway, their store fell 7% from a year ago.
Good.
And they're looking for it to drop another 2%. So, and this is especially at a time when you have kids going back to school. So there's a lot of back to school shopping. And heck, you even have people that are looking for Christmas at this part in time. So, and you have to remember too, Target back in 2014, they had that massive cybersecurity breach where tens of millions of customers' credit and debit credit cards accounts. So, and even prior to that, they had problems with their credit cards. So, you know, their new CEO, maybe they need a new one. You know, Brian Cornell took over in 2014. So maybe Target needs a new CEO. But their stock plunged about 5% in pre-market trading. Walmart will report its second quarter results. So we'll see if it follows through to all the other retailers. I guess they reported on Thursday. Let's see. We had Kohl's, Nordstrom. They all reported last week. We reported that Macy's are closing 100 stores. JCPenney, they also reported losses. There's been about 44,000 retail workers that have been laid off this year. Sales at the Gap, you know, they have disappointing sales. So, you know, retail does not look good in this country. I think the only store that basically posted some strong showings today was Home Depot. And let's see.
Well, you know, we talked a little about this yesterday insofar as shipping indicators. Our shipping is down within the United States 6-7% compared to a year ago. It's down globally 9.6% or thereabouts as compared to a year ago. All that is it's absolute evidence. Look, less people are buying. They're, you know, it's consistent with what you're telling us about the retail.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, again, another sign that doesn't seem that the consumer is doing okay out there. And when you have an economy that is 70% of consumption, doesn't seem like our economy is doing fairly well. The minutes from the Federal Reserve, you know, blamed it on inflation, blah, blah, blah. You know, they can't raise rates. You know, the only reason they're going to raise it maybe a quarter point is so they can lower it in the near future. But They saw little risk of a sharp increase in inflation, fueling bets interest rates will stay lower for longer. You see, again, most of the markets fluctuated weird today. I thought they'd, you know, most of the markets would react one way or another, but they did, but both ways. They went up a little, they went down a little, went up a little, went down a little. So, you know, something's going to break this trend, the small trend that we're seeing in these markets, one way or another. So something's going to break out either to the upside or downside. And I would project to place my money that the stock markets will project to the downside. Gold and silver will project to the upside.
All right, let's take a break for a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article from CNBC entitled "Buy Physical Gold, Central Banks Are on Its Side." Gold prices have nowhere can go nowhere but up as central banks around the world try their utmost to spur inflation. All right? And this certain amount is common sense, but the truth of the matter is our government is trying to cause inflation. They haven't had much success at it, but they've been trying desperately to cause significant inflation in this country, in part to make the dollar, to devalue the dollar and allow the federal government to repay its debts with cheaper dollars. And I think that's a fundamental reason. In theory, the inflation will also stimulate the economy insofar as people realize that their dollar is going to be worth less next year than it is now, and that encourages them to spend now rather than save. They get, okay, let's spend it right now because it'll be worth less in 90 days or 6 months or a year or whatever, so spend, spend, spend. Same thing with buying homes. You are encouraged to buy a home by inflation because inflation, give an extended period of inflation, promises that you'll be able to pay off your mortgage with cheaper dollars. If you're paying $2,000 a month on your mortgage today, by the time you get to the end of the 30-year cycle, assuming inflation has persisted, you're probably going to be paying off. You'll still be paying $2,000 per month, but in terms of purchasing power, it'll only be equivalent to maybe $500 in today's purchasing power. My point is that inflation is deemed to stimulate the economy, cut the debt for the federal government, and therefore the central banks are trying to cause inflation. And this article is essentially saying that because the banks are trying to cause inflation, that's evidence that you can bet that the price of gold is going up. And in fact, it says every central bank in the world says they want inflation. They've come nowhere close so far, but that just means they are going to keep on trying. Central banks cannot allow deflation because it increases the real value of the debt. They're not going to rest until they get more inflation. And he's right. The article is correct. It says the central banks can't allow deflation because it increases the real value of the debt. In the same sense that anyone who's bought a home has probably heard someone encouraged them to take out the mortgage because you'll be able to pay off the debt with cheaper dollars. Got a $2,000 a month mortgage. By the time you get to the end of the end of 30 years, you'll be paying $2,000, but it'll only have $500 in purchasing power as compared to today. That's inflation encourages people to go deeper into debt because they can pay off with cheaper dollars. But deflation is the opposite. Deflation, as they point out in this article, increases the real value of the debt. You borrow $2,000, or you borrow enough money, you take out a mortgage for a home where you are paying $2,000 a month. All right, you get to the end of the 30 years. If we've had deflation instead of inflation, you're still paying $2,000. That $2,000 has purchasing power of, say, $3,000. That can be enough to put people into bankruptcy. Even though the numbers don't change, the purchasing power does, and that deflation can hurt you. And it certainly hurts the government of the United States, the biggest debtor in the world. They can't tolerate deflation. I won't say it won't happen, it hasn't happened, but the government cannot tolerate deflation for long because it increases the real value, the purchasing power of the national debt. It makes it that much more difficult for government to pay the debt or even service the debt because the dollars become more valuable. They don't want it, and the article is essentially saying, look, get gold, because they believe it's inevitable that the banks will succeed in causing some significant inflation, perhaps even hyperinflation. So here's the CNBC saying, hey, better get yourself some gold because this is bound to head in that direction. And when it does, those people who have gold are going to do well, and those who don't will not.
It's not the banks that create inflation. It's the fiat currency that creates inflation.
Well, in fact, we have fiat currency,
so,
plus the central bank. When you say the normal
inflation,
banks,
I mean, they are correct. I mean, but we're going to get it until they address the fiat currency situation, until they address our monetary policies. And no one is willing to do that. So, yeah, inflation is pretty much a given. It's just a matter of time when we truly see, huh?
That's the point to this article. Yeah. And it's the reason why, if it's given that the government wants inflation, mm-hmm. given that the Federal Reserve wants inflation, given that the central banks of the world want inflation, you can sit back and say there's a high probability we're going to have inflation. They have not succeeded in causing it lately, at least not in this country to a significant degree. All right, but still, it looks like we're going to get it, and that is one of the reasons why you sit back and say, where am I going to invest my wealth? Well, gold is certainly a good option here, because if there's going to be inflation, price of gold is going to go up, up, and up.
And when the herd gets into gold, just like we've seen before, only this time it's going to be far worse, there won't be any around, ladies and gentlemen. The gold products, you know, the coins, the bars, you know, whatever you're going to want and need at any given point, it's going to be very difficult to get. You're going to have a lot of just, you know, you're going to have a lot of dealers out there that, oh yeah, we have it, take your money, hoping they'll get something, or they'll call you and say, hey, we don't have this, but we have this for you. Now that we have your money, this is what you're going to get. So there's going to be it's going to be a mess. So get it while you have a selection. Get it while you can, you know, have what you want and get quality.
Mm-hmm. And also at a relatively low price.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, strong probability is when things really start to break down. The price of gold will not merely increase in proportion to whatever inflation or hyperinflation is going on. It's going to increase as a response to the potential failure of the U.S. dollar and the debt-based monetary system that's not only in this country but dominates on a global basis. And that's what gold, to me, is all about. It's essentially, I won't say this is the central idea, but it is a hedge against the collapse of a fiat currency like the U.S. dollar. And people look at it, study this. There are a lot of people that are warning that this is possible, perhaps even likely, in the near future. And nobody knows when. It could happen overnight. It might not happen for, you know, a number of years. No one can say for sure, but that's one of the reasons. And it's part of the reason, like today, we saw whatever's going on in the markets. The metals, the only metal that was up today was gold. The silver, platinum, palladium, they were down, right? That doesn't prove anything. One day is not doesn't prove anything. It can be all aberrations. But from my perspective, I'm inclined to look at that and say, well, here's why gold was up while the rest of the precious metals were down. Gold is the most monetary metal. Silver is also monetary, but not to the same extent. I would say gold is 80% monetary and 20% jewelry and industrial. Gold is mostly about monetary. Silver, I'd say, is 20% monetary and 80% industrial and mm-hmm. and jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Silver doesn't respond to monetary influence the same way as gold, in my opinion. And this is why I look at it and say, well, that monetary problem is still there. Gold went up. Monetary problems still there. Industrial problems were perhaps looking a little brighter. Silver went down, palladium went down, platinum went down. I won't even tell you that this is a viable analysis per se. I'm just telling you this is the way I look at it. As long as the currency system is in danger, gold is going to go up. It is the most monetary metal, and it will go up. All right. While the others, you'll see, they will also go up, but not, to my mind, to the same extent. I know a lot of people think silver is going to do great compared to gold, and that may be true, but
again,
it's not as monetary.
We're back to the fundamentals. And I do believe, and I believe your percentages are fairly accurate, where you have 20% monetary and 80% industrial for silver. I think it will reverse itself. I think in times of difficulty, financial difficulty, when you're having a monetary crisis in a country, and, you know, you will have silver reverse those percentages.
It will become more of a monetary.
But until that point in time, but again, I stick to the fundamentals, just as what you just explained. You buy gold to, you know, both gold and silver to preserve your purchasing power. Gold should be there in your savings account, and silver is your checking account, a very simple way. I have clients that are 100% in silver. I have clients that are 100% in gold. I have clients that are 50-50, 80-20. It's what you believe, and also as to how your investment should form with gold and silver. But I argue all the time, gold is the monetary metal. Mm-hmm. We have a monetary problem.
Yep.
Central banks, gold, the world, global, gold. It's going to be all about gold. And silver will benefit It will convert, and we will see those high prices that everyone talks about. I just don't believe those high prices are going to come about for the, you know, the collapse of a COMEX. It's going to be which comes first. I think the higher prices in silver will come before you're going to have any type of collapse in the COMEX. And I think the gold, the shortages of gold, that is going to be what it's going to be the biggest scandal that we've ever seen. It's going to
put
the LIBOR rate.
When you say the shortages, you're saying, when you're talking about the shortages of gold, are you talking about the possibility that there's no gold or little or no gold at Fort Knox, and that the U.S. Treasury has secretly gotten rid of the gold?
Absolutely. You've had these central banks that have leased out all these golds, and there's leased out all these gold contracts, and they're all carrying like they still show up, they own it, but it's never been given back, and they continue.
Which means that the gold is showing up, essentially, they've leased it out. Okay, they've leased gold out. And they've taken, and we've got gold that was perhaps, let's say it was in the Federal Reserve vault in New York City, and they have leased the gold out to the First National Bank of Chicago. All right, just for hypothetical example. Well, the world looks at this and they say, well, the First National Bank of Chicago has 20 tons of gold, all right, because they leased it from the Federal Reserve. But the Federal Reserve is still carrying that 20 tons as if it's on their books, as if it's still in the vault. It's on their books because it's only leased. It wasn't sold. And the net result is the records indicate there's 20 tons of gold in New York, and the same 20 tons is also in Chicago, and the paper indicates we've got 40 tons of gold, but maybe we've only got 20. Now, if this system breaks down and people all of a sudden start counting how much gold is, wait a second, how much gold is really here? And they find out that it's only a fraction of what we've been led to believe. Under those circumstances, the price of gold is going to go up. Whatever gold you can find, if there's only half as much gold here as we are led to believe, you can assume that something, the price of gold is, you could say it's going to double. Mathematically, it's going to double. Price, the quantity is diminished by 50%, the price goes, it doubles. Well, maybe yes, maybe not. But it illustrates the idea. If they've been cooking the books, it's going to come out, and when it does, price of gold is going to jump.
And when you have countries like China that has the power that they've have been able to accumulate, push for something that will stabilize the currencies, and all these other countries that favor gold and understand gold, they're going to have some say. And again, I believe for many, many years, what's going to happen is you're going to have a basket of currencies. Gold will be in there. It's not going to be 100%, but there's going to be a percentage. And no one can dictate. We can speculate on the amount of gold and the prices. And you know what? No one knows. I know it's going to be a heck of a lot higher than
what
it is
today. Public. Somebody knows.
And I do believe they will use gold as a world currency to stabilize world currencies for trade, because global trade's not going to go away.
In fact, we have an article here that we won't get to. We've only got about 45 seconds left, so maybe we'll save it for to Thursday or Friday. We'll see if we can get to it. But the implication of the article is that the fiat currency itself is having a counterproductive impact on global trade. It might be at least one of the reasons, maybe even the primary reason, why the global economy is in a state of recession or perhaps even depression. It goes to fiat currency. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, we got to get rid of this fiat currency because it's killing our economy.
They'll be forced.
Now, it won't happen easily because it'll mean we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve at the same time, and they're not going to walk, you know, go into the darkness of corporate death. They're not just going to voluntarily go, but we're coming to a moment when the fiat currency is going to have to be replaced. And what are they going to replace it with? In my opinion, it has to be a currency backed by gold or silver, and it has to be at a higher price. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.